This is Steve Hiles welcoming you to episode 11 of the Teacher Rockstar podcast, a place where tips and strategies critical to the new teacher are discussed. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the self-paced classroom, how it is better, and how it can make a difference. As teachers, we must understand that every student has different needs, obviously, right? Some race through instruction while some need more time to digest the incoming information. Some can get help at home and some can't, and some miss classes. Sadly enough, in our traditional educational settings, the demands of pacing guides and age-based promotion make meeting these needs difficult. If we look back at the days of the one-room schoolhouse, educators and teachers have longed for a better system, where all students have the same time they need to achieve true understanding. Now, to put this in perspective, a self-paced learning atmosphere, like we know, forms self-paced learning models in Montessori schools, alternative schools, and cyber schools, yet so far it hasn't reached the masses. The one-size-fits-all model stirs along, leaving far too many students behind. But now we know how to combine self-pacing into our classroom without lowering the students' expectations or replacing ourselves with mindless technology. But first, let's understand the concept of the self-paced model of education. A self-paced classroom is one where students can complete learning tasks at a speed that suits their personal abilities. This means they may take longer with the material they struggle with, or they can skip topics they already know or repeat topics and subjects if needed. The concept of self-pacing is intuitive. Anyone who has raised a child will tell you kids learn how to do things at varying speeds, even from the basic skills like walking or talking or stacking blocks. Kids learn differently, and we need to respect their differences. Research has long demonstrated that students learn at different paces, and the variations in learning rates are considerable. But for some reason, the large majority of K-5 schools, as well as middle and high school, education has ignored this fact. Instead, we take the opposite stance that students should actually learn at the same pace as their peers or the benchmarks the system has made. And if they can't keep up, well, we simply fail them or push them through the system with no regard for what they have missed. And to me, really, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Many of the systems that still dominate much of primary education make it difficult for teachers to imagine a world of flexible pacing in their classrooms. Now that we know what a self-paced classroom is, let's talk about implementing self-paced instruction in your classroom. And if you're interested to learn about the benefits you can reap, stay tuned. The first step towards self-pacing would be to let go of this notion of whole group instruction. It is one of the main reasons most educators don't build self-pacing into their classroom. They rely on whole group direct instruction. Now, this is not really a surprise given that this is how most teachers are trained to educate. But as long as your students depend on you delivering a live lecture or a set of instructions at the beginning of class, you'll never be able to leap into self-pacing. So before you consider self-pacing instruction, you have to develop a concrete plan for replacing whole group instruction with lessons students can access on their own. Now, I need to be clear about something here. Whole group direct instruction is distinct from whole group discussions and activities. Any effective self-paced classroom naturally introduces collaborative experiences. The key note here is to reduce and ultimately eliminate those times when kids are simply waiting for you to tell them information so that they can get started on a task. This is where many educators, in my opinion, struggle and don't understand how they can make the shift. This is where technology kicks in. In these challenging times when lessons are delivered via distance learning, this provides a perfect opportunity for every educational institution, as well as educators, to make an effective elimination of the whole group direct instruction method. You can try to build your own instructional videos and send them to individual students or small groups so that they can all have a chance of understanding the same content, but according to their own level of understanding. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Let's dive into the idea of how you can introduce self-pace within the constraints of school. Let's take a look at 8 steps. Number 1, self-pace within each unit of study. Self-pacing has real power, but if it is implemented without guardrails, it can present substantial challenges. Take this for an example. If you go overboard and let students self-pace for an entire year, you run the risk of having the faster learners fly through the content, while those who require more time grow frustrated and eventually lose motivation. Now, this only widens the gap between students. To prevent this, it is much better to let students self-pace within each unit of study, and in many cases, even shorter bursts than that. This gives students the structure they need to flourish and frequent opportunities for fresh starts as they refine their ability to be effective, self-regulated learners. Self-pacing within each unit of study is not only effective for learners, it also enables educators to follow district and school-level expectations around pacing. Set your end-of-unit or mid-unit deadlines following the expectations provided to you, then cultivate a self-paced learning environment within those constraints. Number 2, classify your lessons. What happens if students don't master all the lessons in a unit by the deadline? This is the right question to ask, and there is research to support that students in a self-paced learning environment might take longer with the material they struggle with. Therefore, some students can be expected to be unable to master every lesson before the unit deadline. Now, to navigate this challenge, you would want to classify lessons based on importance. That makes sense, doesn't it? Which will, in effect, empower you to send kids on personalized pathways based on their needs. To get you as an educator to fast track, here are some extra tips for dividing lessons in must, should, and aspire to do. Let's talk about must do. These lessons cover essential skills and content without which end-of-unit assessments cannot be completed. These lessons are, in fact, non-negotiable. The next category, should do. These lessons give students valuable opportunities to develop their skills or knowledge and include skills that are still considered to be grade level expectations. However, when students fall behind and are working hard, they can be excused from these lessons and can still transition to the next unit comfortably. And the last category is aspire to do. Now, these are by far the toughest lessons in a unit. They serve as extensions for students who are ready and able to learn skills and content beyond the normal scope of a lesson or unit. You should feel comfortable excusing these children from mastering these lessons if they run out of time. Classifying lessons like these are not an exact science, and there's no right way to determine what's essential and what isn't. However, having clear expectations in mind, a reasonable bar every student must meet during the unit, plus extensions for more ambitious students, will help you differentiate your instruction to meet every student's needs. And I think that's what it's all about when you get right down to it. Number 3, tracking student progress. Very important here. Let me just say that teachers can become overwhelmed by the idea of running a self-paced classroom, and I'll tell you why. Both students and their teacher must know exactly what they will work on every day. Constantly tracking progress toward achieving learning goals and mastering content, this helps students get right to work. To create the structure necessary for students to flourish, teachers should build clear progress tracking systems that are easy to update and reward students for effort. Point number 4, public pacing trackers. These trackers are publicly displayed in classrooms and indicate where each student is in a unit. In addition to indicating the lesson each student is on, public pacing trackers often highlight the expected pace and lesson all stars who have produced ideal work. It is important to note that public trackers never display grades, And given the nature of self-pacing, students have ample time and opportunity to catch up. Also, if lesson classifications are used effectively, the tracker should reflect the effort and not the ability level. Arguably, the biggest upside of public trackers is that they encourage organic collaboration. Students can easily identify others who are working on similar lessons for support. Regardless of which method you use, it is vital to have a method for tracking pace. Otherwise, you run the risk of turning a controlled chaos learning environment into a completely chaotic one. Number 5, classroom learning spaces. Unlike traditional classrooms, self-paced classrooms do not revolve around the teacher delivering content standing at the whiteboard. Therefore, the student seating should be designed to encourage collaboration and small group instruction. When students are sitting in groups, they are more likely to collaborate with their peers, either organically or by following their teacher's guidance. And I hope this makes sense to you. Let's move on to number 6, collaborative tasks and activities. Teachers can design assignments and activities that require students to collaborate to achieve mastery. Like using a policy of ask 3 before me. If they have any questions regarding classwork, it encourages students to reach out to their peers for support before approaching the teacher. You can use student assistance forms to push students to work together and track their collaboration. Point number 7, promotes group discussions and activities. Many educators will be able to open each class up with a discussion. The topic can be content specific or centered around the key 21st century skills they are developing and reinforcing in a student-centered classroom. Remember, whole group discussions are welcome in a self-paced environment, not live lectures. And the last point, number 8, progress-based groupings. One of the beauties of progress trackers is that they provide concrete data to support effective collaboration. You know, if, for instance, if a student struggles on a lesson, they can identify a peer who has already mastered that particular lesson and approach them for help. In some cases, teachers will use grouped pacing trackers designed to foster collaboration based on the different lessons. Now, let's tune into the benefits of self-paced learning to understand why it is so stressed in a modern classroom setting. And there are 5 benefits here that I want to discuss with you here. Number 1, it builds self-confidence. We all know students who walk into class already thinking they are bad at school, that they might say they can't write or can't do math or don't like learning. We have become accustomed to hearing students express these frustrations, but if we don't spend enough time asking why, the truth is, countless students have spent their whole educational career feeling rushed. Instead of giving them more time, we usually give them partial credit and completion grades to push them through the system. Over time, they grow to hate school because they have never experienced the joy of authentic mastery. Self-pacing allows students to experience the feeling of true mastery because they are given enough time and support to get there. For students who haven't often experienced that joy, it can have profound effects on their confidence. Number 2, it differentiates for student needs. Everyone talks about differentiation, but you know, in reality, it is tough to pull off effectively in a classroom. A teacher's capacity to differentiate is fundamentally limited if you aren't able to modify the speed of learning based on individual students' needs. There is only so much that you can do if every kid has to move on to the next lesson the next day. With self-paced learning, students who understand a skill can move on while providing appropriate time and scaffolding to students who are struggling to achieve mastery. And to me, that makes perfect sense. Let's move on to number 3. It supports students' social, emotional needs. When I first started teaching, I felt pulled in 2 directions. I was constantly trying to balance meeting my students' unique social emotional needs while maintaining order in my classroom. Now, oftentimes, these 2 priorities often worked against each other. Supporting a struggling student emotionally requires time, care, and patience. All things that are limited when you're trying to manage a whole class activity. In a self-paced classroom, you no longer have to choose between nurturing an individual student or attending to the larger group. When a student needs your attention, you can provide it without inhibiting everybody else's learning. And to me, that makes great sense. Number four, it supports self-regulation. A critical and often undervalued education element is teaching kids the 21st century skills that allow them to become better learners over time. Self-regulation is a uniquely important skill that ensures a student can independently or collaboratively tackle a new challenge in a measured way. Skillfully crafted self-paced classrooms, folks, allow students to practice self-regulation, taking partial ownership over the planning and managing of the learning process, which has been correlated with faster learning and higher achievement. Point number five. It paves the way for mastery-based grading. The final frontier of our model at the Modern Classrooms Project is mastery-based grading. The goal is to cultivate a learning environment where students progress if they have shown mastery of the previous skill. A hallmark of mastery-based grading is giving students time to revise their work and be reassessed when necessary. To accomplish this, self-pacing is not just valuable, it is essential. You have to let some students move ahead while others wrestle with a skill until they achieve mastery. Well, this brings us to the end of this episode. I hope that you found a golden nugget or two that you can use. Thank you for listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you enjoyed listening to these tips and strategies on the self-paced classroom. Teachers, I'd like to share with you my free Let's Write a Book activity for grades 3 through 5 students, which includes the templates and step-by-step directions for creating their very own mini book. And your kids are really going to love doing this activity. They're going to really feel like genuine authors. All you simply have to do is go to getstartedonthewrightfoot.com. That's getstartedonthewrightfoot.com. Also, when you get a moment, visit my blog and subscribe to my newsletter for the latest educational research, freebies, and other goodies at stevesclassroomresources.blogspot.com. And don't forget to subscribe to us at the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. And if you'd like to support us, please feel free to share our podcast with others. Post about us on social media or leave a rating and review. That would be super cool. Thanks again, folks, and we'll see you same time, same place next week. And remember always, teachers, you got this.